Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
And I'm happy today. I'm happy because the hag is off the stage for a few days. The fake hag, Wolf Blitz, has been exposed for what I've exposed him as for years. I called him what he is. I said, the worst of all of them. How many times have I said to you, isn't it odd how I focused on him? And I said to you, Wolf Blitzer is the worst of all of them because Blinky makes believe he's a nice old man. But he isn't. He's the worst, the most vile of all of them. And I wake up today and I turn on the Drudge Report and there's a video of Wolfie, the American Werewolf Blitzer, celebrating Hillary, dancing and singing with a glass of wine in his hand. Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, if you don't know what's wrong with that, don't listen to this show. Go listen to NPR. Go listen to the communist propaganda put out by those rats, those overpaid rats on NPR. If you don't know why you should be offended and that Wolf Blitzer should be fired, then you shouldn't be listening to my show. That's all. Now, here's what I want to do for you today. As you know, it's Friday, and it's tradition radio to do an open mic thing on Friday, so we all do it. But I want to do something different. For the first 5 minutes, I want something different today. I once did Crazy Callers Friday, where I said, if you think you're crazy, call the show. Don't call me if you think you're crazy. Save that for another day or later in the show. I'm reversing it. I have said to you that I believe that I have the most highly educated, most highly professional people in America listening to this show. You get a wide variety of people listening to radio, but I tend to skew the upscale. I tend to skew towards the more highly educated. I know this going back to when I was on KSMO Local. They did demographics, and even then, 20 years ago, I was getting people making $50,000 and more, which was a lot of money, and still is, actually. If you are fairly well educated, and you listen to this show and none others, or a first-time caller who's highly educated, would you call, because you're going to get a free copy of my book, Scorched Earth, which will be out after Labor Day. If not, we'll go to Crazy Callers. But I'm first 5 minutes, I just want to hear the highly educated. I want to see if you'll actually dare call. You know, the people who listen to talk radio and the people who call are two different things. And that's the problem. Because most people don't have the inclination to call a show, or they're too busy, or they're at work. I'm not going to ask you a question. Just thank God it's Friday. Thank God the hag is off the stage. I couldn't look at it one more second. And by the way, I didn't watch it. You have to believe me. On my dog's life, I did not watch 1 second of the Democrat convention. I couldn't watch it. I didn't watch it. I knew it was Soviet-era agitprop. Why would I watch the hag? Why would I watch a criminal like this pretending that she's good for America? Tell me why. Why would I watch the hag for 1 second? Run by two of the slimiest people in the history of the world. The most evil people in the world are behind this campaign. Why would I watch it? So I made a decision, which is to live high, live well, live life, live large. Let me put it this way, legitimize non-carborundum. Let's put it to you that way. That's going to be the battle cry of the Savage Nation from here forward. If she wins, illegitimize non-carborundum. If she speaks, illegitimize non-carborundum. If a Muslim cuts someone's head off somewhere, illegitimize non-carborundum. Don't let them get you down. Don't start hiding. Come out of the hiding and tell them to drop dead, all of them. How's that? Tell them to go to hell, all of them. Don't let the progs get you down. Don't let the Islamists get you down. Don't let the people who vote for Bernie get you down. Tell them to take it and shove it. That's what I say. That's my new view of life. That's how I'm taking it from here on in. Right to the end. I'm driving this baby into the beach, as my good friend Doc told me. My hero. Fought in 5 wars, the greatest guy on earth, musician, doctor, psychiatrist. The guy has a great cheerful. He's probably listening right now somewhere on the Golden Gate Bridge. You know what he said? Drive that baby into the beach, Mike. Just drive that one into the beach. I love that phrase. And that's what you're all going to do for me from now on. You're going to drive that baby into the beach. Stop living in fear of the Prags. Stop living in fear of the Islamists. Stop living in fear of these vermin in the media. Just drive that baby into the beach. Illegitimize non-cobber on them. So now on that note, that's the opening to the show. The lines are lit like crazy. I went for it. I took a chance on it. I'm a little under the weather. I'm a little tired. I have a slight sore throat. And I don't like sore throats. I've suffered them off and on my whole life since I'm a kid. Because a rotten doctor took my tonsils out when I was five. I'd like to cut his fingers off, but he's long dead. In those days, could you believe it? If you had a sore throat, they took your tonsils out. If you had a headache, they gave you shock treatments. I mean, there was some medicine in the era that I grew up in. If you had headaches, they gave you shock treatment and destroyed your brain. That's what they did to Hemingway years later at the great Mayonnaise Clinic. The Mayonnaise Clinic, the most overrated clinic in the United States. I love people, oh, I'm going to go to the Mayo Clinic. What do you think you get there? You get hack doctors who can't do anything else. So they worry, it's like an academic job. What do they know? It's mainstream medicine. It's burn, cut, and poison. Any alternative medicine they try to debunk. So that's the opening to the show number two. That's all. I don't know if I even want to. I'm feeling good. I'm a little giddy, in a strange way giddy. Something weird happened this morning. You know, I collect antique clocks. I told you that. Like 19th century French Doré bronze and marble clocks, because I cleaned them when I was a kid for my father. So I took, years went on, I started to buy them, like French sets, 1890, 1885. I like the three-piece sets. So I have two of them on my mantle right here in the studio that I work in. One keeps perfect time, like keeps on ticking, but you have to wind it every 3 days. And you got to like, it's a whole, like, it's like a dog. You got to take care of these clocks like a pet. So the guy, one on the right, I see if the pendulum slows down. I know that I wind it, it's good. It's the newer of the two. I got it a year ago. The other one's 3 years. It was perfect for 3 years. Now it's causing me trouble. It doesn't want to run. So it's more finicky. And I realize that clocks of this nature are like very much like people. Some are more sensitive than others. Some, if it's slightly like, you know, levels, those old levels that carpenters use. I have a lot of them in my house. I like to be on the level. I have like four or five levels in every room I'm in. It's a weird thing. I just realized it. Here's one in my hand, a long yellow one. Robert can confirm that, right? I have two others by the clocks. The clock that doesn't run now all of a sudden is unhappy because I checked it out both ways, left to right and back and forward. It wasn't level. I moved it around on the mantle, and the mantle isn't level. So I had to shim it up with like Post-its. Then it started to run. I heard the thing start to run when I shimmed it up. So what's the moral of the story? I don't know. I really don't know the moral of the story. What, some people are more sensitive than others? Yes. Is there a bigger moral to the story? Maybe. I don't know what that might be. That's all. What do you want me to do? You want me to be a genius every second? I can't do it. I'm only a person. All I can tell you is attitude is everything. Keep your nose into the wind. Keep your nose up. If you're flying an airplane, the first thing you're going to learn is attitude. If you don't keep that nose up, the plane is going to go into a nosedive. It's the same with you. You need the right attitude to get through the day. Don't let the Bernie people make you put your head down. Don't let the illegitimate coberundum you. Don't let them grind you down. I know it's pig Latin, by the way. It's not actual Latin. I get it. I understand that. I know how literate the left wing is. Oh, it's not really Latin. He thinks it was said by the Romans during the time when the slaves were destroying Rome. No, I don't think that at all. I know exactly what it is. It's a battle cry, illegitimate non-coberundum. And you are, by the way, the illegitimate. You are the illegitimate. You Prags are the illegitimate. You Bernie supporters are the illegitimate. I'm not going to pander to you. I love all the radio guys now are suddenly appealing to millennials. Why do I want to appeal to a bunch of drug addicts? What do I care what millennials think? What do I care? Let them listen to me and learn. I know more than they do. They should listen to me and learn. I don't care what millennials think. They don't know anything. They were raised on drugs. They're all stoners. What do they know? Nothing. They're idiots. I don't care if you're a millennial. Just listen to the show. Listen and learn like a child. I'm not here to hear what you think about anything. You don't know anything. What do you know? If you knew anything, you wouldn't be a millennial. You would have aged already. You would have made yourself age more and quickly, more quickly at that, to get through it already. I have such good callers now. Well, I'm going to do this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad to be alive, number one. I have a joie de vivre that never stops. I get down sometimes. I'm an up and down guy. I'm a little bit on the sine curve, but so are the tides. I mean, there are four tides a day, in case you don't know it. And if you're a flatliner, my friends, then you got something wrong with you. That means you're doing something wrong. If you're one of these people who never go up and never go down, then really something's wrong with you. You're a normopath, the most dangerous kind of personality in America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Even when I didn't even know who he was. Whatever. I didn't like the Beatles, by the way, in the 60s. I hated them. I didn't like their long hair. Now my hair is longer than theirs. Like, I hated guys who had ponytails when I was younger. Now I have a ponytail. Go figure. Things change. Oh, do I deceive people? They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They look at me, they think I'm a liberal because I have, like, a ponytail. They're like I'm driving an inappropriate car to go with it. It's like, what is this guy? They don't know what to do with me. They look at me, they think I'm a Bernie voter. Then they look at my car, they think I'm a Trump supporter. And then basically they look away because they're afraid that they don't know what they're doing, which they don't. As long as I know what I'm doing, that's what's important. And thank God it's Friday. Oh, thank God that the convent is over. A convent of nuns would have been more interesting than watching the hags and the kumbaya singers. And they finally got an American flag that fell on the floor. They dug one up. 3 days later, they heard this. They're commenting there's no American flag. So Sidney Glumenstall ran out and got something. Sidney Glumenstall probably ripped one off from a junior high school. Probably sent someone out to rip one off. I hear my food just arrived. I hear the bag in the radio kitchen. I made a thing I wasn't going to eat on the air anymore because it makes me, you know, sounds come out of me. No one likes that. But it's rough. I mean, the West Coast, it's noon to three. It's lunchtime for me. What do you want me to do, not eat? The food just arrived. During the next break, I'm going right for the Chinese. Oh, did I order? I ordered some very spicy Mongolian beef. No sugar, low oil. He does it right for me, this guy. And then I got the salt and pepper shrimp, no salt, no pepper, which is crazy. I understand that. So why are you asking for salt and pepper shrimp if there's no salt and pepper? Because he does something else with it to go with the salt and pepper shrimp that I like, and I dip it in the hot sauce, which I know is killing the bacteria in the back of my throat. So I have the spray. I got a magical spray. I should have them as an advertiser, because I'm not going to read the name of the company. I've been using it for 20 years. It's miraculous. I'll just tell you what it is. It's an herbal extract that's a combo of echinacea, golden seal, and propolis. The stuff works. But you got to spray 5 times on the back of the throat. If this doesn't work, it's like my first line of defense at the first sign of the sore throat, mega doses of ascorbic acid. Bingo. I mean the powder. Forget the pills. They don't work. They're duds. Most of them are nothing. It's like chalk. It's like if you buy, oh, I take vitamin C pills. They really, what do you, it's like getting like, oh, I take the tablets. There's nothing in them. The shysters in the vitamin business. I worked for some of them. Believe me, I know what they do. I use the powder. But you got to feel it like tingling the back of your throat. That's number one. If I feel it's coming on, it's not working. The next stage is the spray. I have stages. The next stage is, I know what I'm going to do tonight. Tonight's a bottle of Italian red wine, $100 a bottle. Maybe it's worth more now because I'm sitting in the car. I haven't been drinking. I can't stand wine. But when I get sick, I like red wine. When I feel a cold coming on. You know, I just get a little loaded on red wine and it works like a charm. I watch a lot of TV. I may go to the city tonight. I'm in a crazy mood. I just feel good. I'm like in and out of the city. Tonight I want to go to the city, but then I don't want to see the bums. I don't want to see the panhandlers. I don't want to see the broken streets. You need an urban assault vehicle to drive in San Francisco. They rob all the money. I don't know where it goes. Where is the highway money? What do they do with it? Have you seen the entrance to the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco? An iconic tourist site, and these gonifs, these gangsters have the nerve to leave it unpaved. You could break a wheel getting on the bridge. It's astounding to me they get away with this. Don't get started on the gangsters who run the Golden Gate Bridge. It's like worse than the five families. These are the 15 families. Over and over again, they paid for the bridge 500 times. It took them 15 years to put up a barrier to prevent head-on collisions. God knows how many different fingers were greased for that one. Oh, the Chinese food's driving me crazy. Let me take some callers before you hang up on me already. I got callers. Remember I said I want the most highly educated first-time callers who you never heard in radio? If I read to you what is up here, you will not believe it. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Andrew, WJR, give us your background.
I've got a Master of Fine Arts. I've been a university art professor for almost 40 years. And I'm calling not only on my behalf, but on behalf of my son, who lives outside of the country. He's an attorney. He's got an MBA. He's licensed to practice in 3 states and 1 country. And he cannot live without listening to you overseas. So,
let me indulge myself for a minute. It's a loaded question. You're highly educated. You speak a beautiful American English language. Does my New Yorkese offend you?
I grew up in that near Alley Pond Park.
You did. So how come you sound like you're from America and I don't?
My parents, one from Indiana, one from Missouri. It shows you.
Oh, well, you see, I had two immigrant parents. So
yeah.
I have more of the street vernacular. And it used to embarrass me until I realized it was an asset. All right, you're getting a free copy of Scorched Earth. There's one educated caller for you. I'm short of time already. Now, I want to talk about that. It's a very interesting thing. My father was born in Russia, came here when he was 7, I think. My grandfather brought him over. My grandfather came here and worked for 7 years to bring over the wife and 2 children. God bless him, then died of a heart attack shortly thereafter from killing himself in a tailor store with the cigarettes and the pants. But he ran a fine tailor shop. Like he made suits for the gangsters in the Lower East Side kind of thing. That's what I heard. I don't know. I had a picture of him. I love him. I call my grandfather Sam the astronaut of the family. He may as well have flown to the moon. In those days, to have come from Russia and come here, not live on welfare, there was none. And he would have thrown himself off a fire escape before accepting a nickel. Unlike the deadbeat bums who come here today, 93 million of you, go back where you came from. You losers, you. Sucking my system dry.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's sweet in its own way. I don't know if it's... All right, this one I don't like as much. It's a little too sweet for me. I'm not a sweet kind of guy. I don't know. I don't eat sweets. I don't like sweets. I don't like sweet people. I don't trust them. I don't like too nice people. I mean, people are too nice are usually... Like Wolf Blitzer looks like a nice guy, one of the worst people walking the planet. An evildoer, pure evildoer. I was on to him a lot. Why did I start on him 3 months ago? How did I intuit that the guy would be caught with wine dancing when she got nominated? I love this. The newspapers in San Francisco accepts the nomination. Like it was ever a question. No, Bernie the commie they were going to let take the nomination. That guy would have been given a polonium latke before they let him win. If he got anywhere near winning, if he even got near winning, it would have been a polonium corned beef at Katz's or polonium knish would have arrived. And they would have made him eat somewhere in a Lake Erie area. They would have found him with like a poison knish somewhere. And they would have said he did it to himself because he was depressed owing to the fact that at a certain point in his Israeli background when he was learning Hebrew, he didn't quite understand Maimonides wasn't really this. That he would have made up some story like that. Yeah, got his master's. He speaks Hebrew fluently. Originally worked as the defense reporter for an Israeli newspaper. Old Wolfie, the stealth. Watch out for the blinky ones. He ought to grow a ponytail. He ought to grow a ponytail, Wolf Blitzer. That would really do him in. It's like a fossil, this guy. So we're talking about the government media complex. 1998, I gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, which I've mentioned several thousand times in the past. But I want to mention it for the thousandth and first time. In 1998, when I was still a local host, I was already celebrated by those who were listening to me here in the Bay Area. They couldn't believe that anyone like me could even live here, let alone get a radio show and survive for all those years, 4 years by that point. There was a man who was alive at the time, who was a member of the Commonwealth Club. He's since passed away. He, like, snuck me in as a speaker because it was all liberals. So I gave a shocking speech. It was called Beware the Government Media Complex, and guess what? It was about the Clintons. It's shockingly true. They owned the media then. You think they don't own them now? So what is new about the story? I don't really know what's new about the story. I just feel I have to do it. That's all. I feel I have to do it. I think I should talk about what happens if the Hag wins. What happens if the nightmare of nightmares occurs, and there they are back again? Two of the worst people in American history now running America again, and the body bags are being manufactured in China because they'll need so many. People won't know what to do if they're back. They cannot believe people as corrupt as this can even run for the office of presidency again. Well, the answer is because of Wolf Blitzer. Of course they can. You'll have an Erdogan here. People will disappear. There are no generals to purge anymore because they're all purged by the wonderful man in the White House right now. He purged everyone who could conduct the coup, so don't even think about generals. They don't exist. I'm surprised anyone can still fly an airplane after this regime. 7 years of purging. Secretary of the Air Force, she never flew a Piper Cub. That's number one. Secretary of the Navy, she never powered a boat over 30 feet. She's the Secretary of the Navy. So there's no one left to purge. Don't worry about that. Police are falling like tenpins because of Obama. Two more shot and killed by one of their wonderful immigrants. Yeah, one of Hillary's great sacred immigrants from south of the border just whacked two cops in San Diego. Oh, they all come here to work. How dare Donald Trump say that some of them are criminals and rapists? Are you kidding? How dare you say that about my people? We're all sacred. We're all better than everybody. Yeah, right. Tell that to the two dead cops' families. Yeah, the big story. Keep putting out the big lie. They all come here to work, right? No one comes here with Zika. No one comes here with TB. No one comes here with cholera. No one comes here with diseases that were eradicated. They all come here to work. And none of them are on welfare. No, not at all. Not at all. It's all a big lie. Anyone who says the truth is a racist. Well, you know what? You can take your racism and you know what you could do with it. So that's the mood I'm in. The Chinese food is pretty good, by the way. I had a little bite of it during the break. That Mongolian beef, when he does it for me, and I needed it with the hot sauce because the throat, and I feel it, and I suppress, and I got to watch out. But the voice is doing good right now. I think I'll have some honey later. Honey always works very well. You know what Sinatra drank, by the way? I studied a little bit about the singers' voices. They drank hot water and even drink tea. Did you know that? Not burning. Watch out for ultra hot, ultra cold. No ice. All your drinks, no ice. That cold beer will kill you faster than a speeding bullet. On a hot day, heart attack. No, don't go for the cold beer. The British are smart on that. They're stupid on almost everything else to do with food and drink. I don't understand that about the Brits. They're pretty classy on certain things, but they know nothing about cuisine, and they don't know anything about drinks except beer. They know not to drink cold. Room temperature. I once went and visited a friend in England. Don't get me started about him. An inheritance case, never worked a day in his life, but he's an expert on everything. Lived off his father's money, hates the father. In therapy for 45 years, hates the father because he inherited the father's money. That's an easy one. So nevertheless, he once had me out to the university where he was famous. You know, I can't mention him because they don't know who it is. And I'm afraid he still listens to me, even though I deleted all of his emails and blocked him. I hear he hates me because the father liked me more than him. He shouldn't. He really shouldn't do it. The father was like came up with a similar background to mine and made a fortune in his life by killing himself and working hard. The son is a wastrel but thinks he's great. Nevertheless, he took me to his university and to watch him play tennis. They don't play tennis there. They play real tennis with a crooked racket. I don't understand it. I'm a kid from the Bronx. I don't understand what the crooked racket has to do with a clay court. I get clay is more superior than the regular. It's high. It's like a gravel driveway in Greenwich. I don't like gravel driveways. I hate them. They ruin my tires. They put up dust. What do you want a gravel driveway if you can pave it for? I don't get that. But it's classier. It's like a twisted racket is classier than a straight racket. But the point was is that he had beer in the back room that was left outdoors, and it was at room temperature cold, not refrigerated. I've never had a cold beer ever since then. No, I don't know why I'm telling you that, because cold liquids are not good for your body, nor are hot. And that's the Chinese thing, which is the middle road. Not too hot, not too cold. We learned that recently, right? Well, now let's bring that down to politics. Let's think about that. What is Hillary? Is she too hot or too cold? What is Trump? Is he too hot or too cold? Now, that's an interesting question. And I don't know that what applies to drinks apply to people. But I know this. She is a known quantity. Trump is not a known quantity. Trump is being identified, but he isn't what they say he is. She is identified, and they're changing her identity into something she isn't. Think about what I just said. I gave you a Chinese parable just now. She is a known quantity, a liar and a crook from top to bottom, and they've turned her into, they're trying to make her into something she isn't. Trump is actually a good man who's created things and built things, and they're trying to make him into something he isn't. They're trying to make him into a villain, which he is not. See? That's how this is working. That's all. I read the other day that a guy I knew was working talk shows died. Nice guy. He died at 60, no less. What was his name, Robert? I forget. Jerry Doyle. He was a nice guy. I knew him from the past. He was unfortunately stuck with a wonderful, wonderful group of people working with. They found him dead in Las Vegas. I hope it was natural causes. I hope. I don't know. Anyone in the media that dies, I'm worried immediately. You know what I'm saying? May he rest in peace. I hope there's a heaven and he's in it. He was a good man. I hadn't heard from him in years after I left that nightmare factory. I didn't want anything more to do with the catheter people. So here we are on a Friday. The convent is over. The witches have flown home. I hear that they have to sanitize the auditorium now. They're taking it down to the studs. I mean, talk about bringing in levels and contractors. They're not just sanitizing the auditorium where the Democrats were. What went on in there? Just the bad vibes. They're having it taken down to the studs to redo the place. You know about moving into a house, you throw out the toilets, you rip it down to the studs. You know why? Well, you know why now. I mean, would you walk... Stop. Don't get me started on a Lincoln bedroom after Obama. Who he's had that... I'd like a list. Because if Trump becomes president, which I hope can still happen, I'm not sure anymore, the smear campaign is so overwhelming. I don't know if he can overcome the odds. I hope he can. He's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. He's got great people around him. But I don't know. The liars like Blitzer are so overwhelmingly blatant now and nasty with their evil. It's hard to overcome Pravda like this. But if Trump should win, even though he's the underdog and the long shot, and he represents the true American people as opposed to everyone else, the illegitimate, and he invites me to spend the night in the White House, and he says the Lincoln bedroom, I hope he says to me, but bye, don't worry, Melania and I redecorated, we took it down to the studs after the Obamas left. Because I don't want to sleep there after Al Sharpton was in there, let me put it to you that way. I don't even want to go in that place. They got to redo the whole place. Maybe the Obamas can be asked to leave early. I said that a few months ago. What, they gave him a buyout, like 50 mil. I'd raise the money myself. If he left early and couldn't do any more damage between now and July, whatever it is, in January, whatever they go, I think I could raise 50 mil for that. I'd say 30 I could raise legitimately through listeners to get him out early. A buyout, an early buyout. On one condition, he takes the dishes, the silverware, and the linens with him. Because of the wonderful people he's had in and out of that White House. Great people. Wonderful people. Top of the heap. Now let's go back to the highest and most educated people in the universe of talk radio. This one you're not going to believe. Paul on WMAL Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your background?
Well, my background is, Rob told me not to mention my New York City public education, but I wanted to do that.
No, go ahead. Give us your education and where you went. I want to hear that.
I went to public school in Brooklyn, and then I went to high school in Brooklyn, and I went to a neighbor high school of Bernie's and the Supreme Court Justice.
Which high school did you go to in Brooklyn? What was its name?
I went to Erasmus Hall, but James...
Today it's a gangbanger high school. They teach nothing in there now. The teachers are lucky they come out without being scalped.
Now it's...
If the teachers let them go home and not kill, they're happy there.
About 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, the maintenance crews were stealing all the money that was supposed to renovate the schools.
Well, that sounds like San Francisco. That's interesting.
Well, a lot of New Yorkers moved to San Francisco, including one that moved to Oakland named Al Davis. He was alumnus of my high school. But the high school, two high schools away, if you go south from Erasmus, you hit Midwood, and that's where Woody Allen went to Midwood.
Oh, God. Don't even mention the name. Please don't say Woody Allen to me. So you currently have a PhD in physical chemistry. Where'd you go to college?
New York. You know, if I identify all these colleges, people are going to know who I am. And
all right, just roughly what college?
I went to the private part of the State University in New York that has an agriculture school. You can know who that is. Cornell.
It's a great school when you went. Today it's a cauldron. It's like a convent of witches now.
And
if anyone is seen with an American flag pin, they try to burn them alive at Cornell now.
I don't know about that. I haven't been there lately. But
I know someone who's been there. It's a cauldron of witches took over that university. It was gorgeous. I mean, with the ivy and the snow and the this and the jaguars. But the thing is this. So you listen to talk radio, even though you're a PhD in physical chemistry. I assume you got your actual degree. You didn't get it because of affirmative action.
No, I got my degree in from a university in a big city in the Midwest in 1968, in August of 1968.
Well, physical chemistry is real science. This is on the level of real science. It actually is real science. It's not hokum. It's not social science. It's not ethnic studies. It's not the basket weaving, you know, of the arts, of the native arts. So when you do physical chemistry, you're analyzing what a thing is made of, basically?
Yeah, but as a physicist said, a physical chemist is somebody that wants to be a physicist without taking the physics basic exam.
So you're telling me you did it as a shortcut for study to work in physics? Is that it?
I did it because I had an uncle who had done it. I also had read Sinclair Lewis's Arrowsmith, and in Arrowsmith, have you ever read that book?
Believe me, I know Sinclair Lewis's work. I'll tell you a personal story in a moment about it. Please go. Please keep going. In the minute I come back, I'm taking callers today in the first 5 minutes. We're already into the 47th minute of the Savage Nation. Of the most educated callers in America, I want to prove to you something, which is that talk radio is not filled with idiots. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, we're going to move on to other highly educated first-time callers because it's a unique thing in talk radio. Most people, you think, well, they call because they got nothing to do. Believe me, people gravitate to this show for a number of reasons. I don't have to spell it out. So I was playing Frank Sinatra earlier, You Make Me Feel So Young, and I looked up who wrote it because it's usually an interesting story. Who writes these beautiful, cheerful songs? Usually they were depressed songwriters, down on their luck, lost a girlfriend, you know. Mack Gordon, born Morris Gittler. There you go. 1904, died. I always look when they died. 59, I mean, he's 55. Well, in those days, that was normal. Born in Warsaw, like Wolf Blitzer. And moved to New York City as a child. Appeared as a vaudeville actor. Blah, blah, blah. His songs have been used in the soundtrack of over 100 films. Can you believe the genius of a songwriter like this? And then there was another one, Yosef Mirow, born in 1910, died in 1987, died in L.A., Russian-born composer known for his work in film scores in the 40s and 50s. So you see, you look into a song like that. He also wrote the official song of the Civil Air Patrol. That's the United States Air Force Auxiliary. And he was the co-author of You Make Me Feel So Young. The point I'm making is there's genius behind everything that's good. And I can make another statement attached to it that's a little depressing, which is the cops that just got shot in San Diego were working a Hispanic gang task force. So don't let anyone tell you that if you know what's really going on, that you are a quote-ist. You're not an ist, you're a realist.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, when I grew up, okay, thanks, Edith. Appreciate it. Give her a rose and send it down the hall. Welcome to the Super Bowl of talk radio. I despise pantsuits, by the way, before I get into the song. I despise pantsuits. It is the worst article of clothing since culottes. I hated culottes when they were out. There wasn't a beautiful woman on earth who could wear culottes and look good. I don't know who. I always thought it was like designers who hated women who came up with these outfits to make women look bad. Culottes destroy any woman, number one. Now you got the pantsuit. Who could wear a pantsuit and look good? Well, there are women who could wear a pantsuit, but it's not Hillary Clinton. Let's start with that. What does she think? We don't see what's really going on there? We don't see the bowling pin? I mean, if you're a bowling pin woman, okay, it happens. Age does that. Time and gravity is not good to any of us. But you know, if you got it flaunted, man, get a hoop skirt. Whatever you got to do with, stop with the pantsuit. You look like Kim Jong Il's sister in that thing. You know what I'm saying? A pantsuit. That's what, 8 years I have to put up with that, God forbid. I don't think I could take it. That's a reason enough to move to Iceland. I don't want to see her in pantsuits. I can't take it. Angela Merkel has the sense not to wear pantsuits. If she just wore like a potato sack, Angela Merkel, it would suit her face and her personality. Well, anyway, here we are. Welcome to the Super Bowl of Talk Radio. So I was playing the Edith Piaf song. It was like stuck in my mind for a few days. I don't know why. I was hearing it. Oh, I remember. So I sang, you know, when I grew up and I studied two languages at Queen's College, it wasn't one you had to study. Now if you don't even speak English, you get a master's degree in English at the City University of New York. We had to take two languages, not one. I remember it to this day. And I took Spanish for 7 years. I couldn't relate to the language. I read Don Quixote. I read a lot of the literature. I always liked the literature of the languages. Spanish literature intrigued me. The language I couldn't, it was the tilde. There was something about the tilde that threw me off. Castilian Spanish. I tried. I tried my best, but I couldn't, I don't have a facility for Spanish. So you gotta hear this story. It's an amazing story. And Clay, maybe you're struggling with something right now. There's always an answer to everything, by the way. If you use logic, my father says there's an answer to everything. He's right. And when there's no answer, you're dead. That's all. But there was always an answer to something if I had a problem. So I remember this. I took Spanish in high school, and I couldn't relate to it no matter how I tried. Struggled. I was getting like D's. I just couldn't manage the grammar. It was very hard. So I have sympathy for people who are Spanish speakers in America who are having trouble with English. Believe me, language is a very complicated subject, especially foreign language. It's very complicated. So I couldn't grasp the whole thing with Spanish. So I'll never forget, it was an autumn day. I don't know what year I was in. Oh, I remember. I went to Queen's College, and I started with Spanish. And I was having trouble with it again because I had learned it in high school. I didn't do well. So I go, I struggled with it. It was like just before Thanksgiving. I remember it like today. I go to Alley Pond Park, which is a park near where Donald Trump, his family lived, right next to the park. I lived on the other side of the boulevard in the poor neighborhood. Not that it was slummy. It was beautiful and clean, but I lived in an attached house. He lived in a separated house. Father was a contractor, a very successful one. So he was like the rich kid. But I went to Alley Pond Park on that day, and I remember I started a little fire in an outdoor barbecue by myself. Not like a nut. I'm not a pyromaniac. I like the fire on a cold day. Today, I hate fires in suburban neighborhoods because it's not the same thing. I don't want to inhale the idiot smoke. It's not the same thing. I'm not Paul Runyon living out in the woods. Okay, you're sharing air, moron. Who gives you a right to pollute everyone's air, idiot, because you like a fire? But in the end, I was in a park, so I lit a fire, had some wood. Actually, had no wood. I got the stuff, the twigs, the bark. I was a Boy Scout. And the flint. Actually, I had a match. And I had a fire. I sat there, and I said, I don't know what to do. I can't handle the Spanish. I can't see doing this for two more years here. I hate it. So I said, wait a minute, why don't I just drop Spanish and take French? Well, that was actually a big decision. I went to school on that Monday. I dropped Spanish, and I started with French the next term. I didn't do great in it. I did well in it. And I don't know why the French literature appealed to me. Remember now, we're talking late 50s. Not only that, but I got steeped through the grammar of the language in the culture of France. And all of these little, you know, dialogues they create, you know, like to learn something, I picked up really easily. Like, I remember to this day, I don't speak French very well anymore at all. I hardly understand a word of it. But I remember it's like I was riding in the countryside of France and the tire blew out kind of thing. So you're supposed to go to like a mechanic and say, it's a matter of a small repair in French. Well, I used that for years in dating women. It was a funny girl. The girls laughed. The French line was, it's a matter of a small repair. They got it. The smart ones got the joke. It was quick. I don't know how you say it. Yeah, I don't know. Is there a French speaker in the audience? It was funny. It's a matter of a small repair. Come on. It's a funny joke. But nevertheless, the point I'm making is French culture 50s, sports cars, sophisticated people, wine, cheese, bread, the joie de vivre. Everyone seemed to be, like, sophisticated happy. And then along comes this invasion. Along comes the result of letting the floodgates open to Algeria to begin with, where the French had long conquered as a colony, and they made the huge mistake of opening their doors to their former colonies with an open borders policy, and before long, ghettos had been created, not of ghettos of people wanting to move up and become French, but people who wanted to cut their throats and kill them. And a few people saw this coming, one of whom was one of the most beautiful women on earth at the time, Brigitte Bardot, who in the 50s was the siren of sirens. She was just this gorgeous young woman. She represented France. She was this great. And what happened was, all of a sudden, she sees what's going on in her country as she became a middle-aged woman. And she said, our churches are becoming mosques. They're going to try and kill all of us. She was fined by the French government. They called her an enemy of the people. We're France, our values. How dare you violate our values? Just like Obama. The same thing, the same bull crap about our values. Our values are to survive, not to die. That's the number one value. Take your other values and shove them. The number one value of any society is survival, not the other garbage that they're feeding you like you're a child. So that's what happened to her. She saw it was coming. But, you know, then I went over to France, and I tried to live, you know, kind of the romantic. I loved all the writing that I was reading, too, the romantic poets. Oh, God, did I love those romantic poets, the French poets. They were so great. Rabelais and the one who went to France and Il pleut dans la vie, comme il pleut de ma cour. Oh, did I love that. I thought I was so great reading that in the French accent. It's raining. He was in the jail. He's in prison for a small petty crime. And it wasn't him. It was his partner. I forget Rabelais. It wasn't Rabelais either, sorry. It was... Help me on this. I don't remember, a long time ago, but they were living. They were not dead. So he wrote, he looks out of the jail cell. He looks at the streets of France, cobblestone streets, and it's raining, and the rain is running down the street, and he writes his poem, "It rains in the streets as it rains in my heart." It was beautiful. The translation, of course, is not as beautiful. Il pleut dans la vie comme il pleut de ma cour. I thought it was very beautiful. I always had sort of a romantically maudlin view of the world, and I've not been disappointed in my approach to life. Life has never disappointed me. It's kind of depressing at the end of the day. But if you can keep your head up and let the illegitimate go where they belong, you'll get through it okay. And now I cannot believe it. We have almost, I don't know how this is going on, into one of my great things. I call people, I ask people to call today. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. It's a V. It's not, I can't remember his name. Help me. Look it up, Robert. Do a quick wiki on Il pleut de la vie comme il pleut de ma cour, written by V. I think it's V, not Voltaire. I don't remember his name. It'll all come back to me. So I went over to France, and I did the thing. You know, I sat in the streets on a church step with the loaf of bread, I had the jug of wine, the cheese, you know, and I thought I was being Mr. Cool. And I spoke with my New York accent, my French with a New York accent, and people surprisingly said, you sound like you're from Paris. I didn't know everyone in Paris came from New York, or everyone in New York came from Paris, but the same thing happened, speaking of accents, when I moved to San Francisco. The phonies made an issue of my accent, but the people who actually were born here said, you sound like one of us, because everybody living in the avenues sounds like they're from New York. It's only the phonies in San Francisco who don't sound like they're from New York. That's what it was, I swear to God. So that's the thing about accents you have to know. Don't judge a man by his accent. You'll make a mistake every time. Listen to what the man is actually saying. Then you won't make a mistake. Okay? Stop being a prog. Be a brilliant person. So I said today, the show, I want callers of high, you know, background to call. Because I want you to see how intelligent not only my audience is, but the audience of Trump supporters are. Okay? Let's put it to you that way. WJR, figure on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. I don't know what's wrong. We're not getting Phil. I must have hit the wrong button. Sorry, Phil. Great call. Army Ranger, Masters in Engineering, a PhD in something. Excuse me. Let's take another quick caller. WABC, Randy, line one. What's your background, please? Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Savage, how are you? Let's see. I have a degree in history, political science. I spent a year living in Copenhagen doing an internship. I was fortunate enough to get behind the Soviet Union for 2 weeks, studied there. I did an internship on Capitol Hill as a lobbyist for a semester, and I worked for 33 years on the New York Stock Exchange, 30 years as a broker in the middle of the world there. I'm from Brooklyn.
So you're a center of the universe as anyone in this country. Who are you supporting, Hillary or Trump?
I don't have...
Who do you support, Hillary or Trump?
What, I'm from Brooklyn.
No, but who do you support, Hillary or Trump?
Oh, no, it's not even the question. You know, you have to support Donald Trump. I watch Hillary. I can't even watch it. I spent those 2 weeks in the Soviet Union, you know, the workers' paradise, and that's what she wants us to be, and it was no paradise, Doc.
It's so amazing that you know it, immigrants know it. I stopped for a piece of sushi the other day in a little stand in San Francisco run by two Philippine immigrants. They're the nicest people on earth. So they look at me and they said, oh, what do you think of Donald Trump? I said, I hate communism. And they said, oh, we do too. We do too. We know what it is. It will destroy all of us. How can anyone vote for a Democrat? These are immigrants, Philippine immigrants who know reality. What is wrong with Americans, Randy, that they don't... is this Randy?
Everybody,
Randy, how come the average American doesn't know what socialism really is?
Because they're so used to getting everything handed to them all the time, Doc. They don't understand what it is to work for it.
That's it. It's as simple as that. That's why I figured you'd be a great caller. Smart people can make their point quickly. I had a guy yesterday. I let him on. He hummed and a horn, the hen, the hen, the hen, the hen. You made your point. That's it. You get a free copy of Scorched Earth. Thank you. Stay on the line. And that book, I'm not really talking about it yet. I'm building up. It's like I'm just seeding the ground now with some seeds on it. I'm waiting. I'm holding my fire for it. Because it's not out until after Labor Day. I timed it that way. I wanted to beat the crowd for the election season. It's a do or die. I'm trying to lay out everything Obama has done to destroy America. It's called Scorched Earth, Saving America After Obama. It's as clear as a bell. You say, I know it all. You don't know it all. You don't even know half of what he's done. You don't have any idea. You have some idea of half of it. You don't know the other half. The damage he has done is a scorched earth policy towards every sacred institution in this country. And the reason I bothered for the last year to write it is so that it's a document for the Trump campaign should they win. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's number one. But before that, I have a small window between Labor Day and the election. For you, the listener, who's bought another one of my books, this is it. Buy it and give it to someone. It's the last chance we have. Because when they see the scorched earth policies that this wonderful man in the White House is practicing, from purging the military, write down the list. You'll understand what's at stake. This is the Savage Nation. I'm very short of time. As you can see, I'm very loquacious today, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. I got so many things I want to say all at once that I'm just going to go back to what we were doing, and then I'm going to get into something from the Bible that I just got from someone on Facebook that I think is so relevant to what we are talking about. I don't want to get distracted, but it's where God says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. What is God saying? What is God actually saying? He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. What God is saying is he doesn't want lukewarm people sitting on the fence. Either you love him or you hate him. He doesn't like people who are bland or sitting in the middle. We're going to get into that in a minute because it goes to what I'm trying to do today in telling you to remember this, illegitimate non coverandum. Don't let the progs, don't let the pantsuits and the Priuses get to you. Let me put it to you that way. Don't let the pantsuits or the Priuses get to you. Charlene on WMAL, you're the winner here. Tell us the name of the French author of that. Il pleut dans la vie comme il pleut de mon cœur.
Paul Verlaine.
Yes. Now, could you read that poem to us in that beautiful accent of yours?
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but I memorized it in high school. I can try to do it from memory.
Go ahead, give us a shot.
All right. Il pleure dans mon cœur comme il pleure sur la ville. Quelle est cette longueur qui pénètre mon cœur? Au bruit doux de la pluie, par terre et sur les froids. Point cœur qui s'ennuie, au le chant de la pluie. Il pleure sans raison.
Oh, I want to take French from you. Where do you teach? I want to sit in your class. You know, when you said langueur, I mean, I was back in class all over again. What does langueur mean?
Langueur is pain.
Pain. I told you, I always had a morbid sense of reality, and that poem touched me. But is it a morbid poem? Would you say that poem is morbid?
No, I think it's... No, I don't think it's morbid. I think he is longing for his lover, and he's looking out from the tower, as you said, and he's wistful.
Wistful, interesting. So you are a... are you a French instructor, or you just remember you're French from college?
The latter. I made
interesting. Charlene, thank you so much. I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth. And we're going to come back with the callers, the highly educated callers, because I want you to see who listens to talk radio. It is very easy to all of a sudden believe the wolf blitzers and the pantsuits that the people listening to conservative talk radio are all stupid, idiots, don't know anything. It's the exact opposite. We are the world. They are the losers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Which is live large, live life, don't let the progs get you down, illegitimize, non-cover on them. We are America, we are the world, the losers, the dumb idiots who collect welfare, the dumb idiots on food stamps, the deadbeats are not America, no matter what Obama and Hillary try to sell us. They represent the non-America, not the real America. And it's time we put our chins up and we march with pride and stop letting them beat you up. That's it. That's the whole message. That's all I wanted to say. Now, good night and thanks for listening. No, I'm only at the halfway point of the show. Energy is super today. Comments on the Wolf Blitzer exposure today of him guzzling cheap wine. Can you imagine the wine they served at the DNC? They're such schnurrers to begin with. That's an old European word for cheapskate. They are such schnurrers. This is like below boxed wine. They probably got the wine in a boxcar delivered by some shyster from Rhode Island. Well, Maryland probably. Shipped it in a boxcar and then dispersed it to the crowd. Wolf Blitzer wouldn't know the difference between a Grand Cru Chablis and boxcar Chardonnay any more than know the difference between a dachshund and a wolfhound. So people said, what, are you shocked that he was seen celebrating? Yeah, there's nothing funnier, by the way, than a lib trying to, like, get down and show that they're cool. See him dancing? Those hips haven't moved in 13 years. You love when they try to dance. That's the funniest part with a liberal. They are so rigid, it's unbelievable. Worse than Republicans, incidentally. Comments on Blitzer video from Facebook. Zod Schubert writes, a small hairy homunculus a small hairy homunculus going about his day as a network anchor, reading the teleprompter, squinting at the blinking squinting at the blinking red light, mugging for the camera day after day, recounting the latest foibles of the Republican political candidate. Hour after hour, the anchor finally snaps, turning to nihilism in a last ditch effort to make sense of it all. He has a complete breakdown on camera in front of the entire world as he realizes the candidate is winning despite his best efforts. That's pretty good. Another one, Jessica Carey says, Wolf Blitzer looks like a leprechaun that just found this pot of gold at the end of the fake rainbow. Did you see... Oh, now this one is an anti-hunt. Did you see that transgender woman speak? Notice that I don't even acknowledge Caitlyn Jenner or the fact that she spoke at the RNC welcome breakfast. See, this is interesting, isn't it? How many years have I told you, if you're a minority, pay close attention to what I'm saying. Have you asked yourself why your story as a minority is never told or never seen? I don't mean you particularly, but your story of a hardworking immigrant or a hardworking minority. You know why you're never shown? Because you're not a useful idiot for the socialist messaging. Once a minority steps out of the fold, that person loses his minority status. And is the same with any minority, whether that person be African-American or Hispanic or Asian. If you are actually fighting for what you have by working very hard instead of taking from the system, instead of complaining about the system but adding to the system, when have you last seen your story told by the Wolf Blitzers of the world? I can't remember ever. And it goes now for the transgenders as well. If you have a transgender who's a Republican or let's say supports the American way as we know it, they're not transgender anymore. They lose their status, their sexual utility in that sense. So the only ones you'll see, whether they be Hispanic or African American or Asian or transgender, the only ones that are ever paraded by the solenterates in the media are those who push the radical one-world socialist anti-American burn-the-flag agenda. That's all. Next case. Now let's go on to the callers. I didn't play one soundbite yet. All right. I think we need to play a Clinton piece because you just got to hear the voice of Pantsuit herself to know what's agitating me today. Clip two of the Pantsuit.
And in this campaign, I've met many more people who motivate me to keep fighting for change.
Oh,
and with your help, I will carry all of your voices and stories with me to the White House.
Stop. That's it. That's I can't. 8 years, no. Is there a moon mission where they need a volunteer? Like in 8 years on the moon, or it takes 8 years to get to Mars? I don't like traveling, and I hate flying, but I consider it. I consider volunteering. I mean, I could go up to entertain the astronauts for 8 years. Anything to not have to hear her. That voice, that hard voice. What is the benefit of having a woman who has no femininity? Can anyone explain that to me? I could see electing the first woman president who had a scintilla of femininity. What are we getting in a woman who doesn't sound like a woman, but a truck driver from the 1950s on the Lower West Side of New York? I mean, the Upper West Side of New York. Going over cobblestone with, like, a chain drive of the truck. What is she? She's like a longshoreman in a pantsuit. I don't understand the appeal of her. Why would a woman vote for someone who has no femininity? I don't get that. What, that she's not a man? That's a reason of a... Can you women stop for a minute and think? What are you celebrating, actually? That she's not a man? That's enough to vote for her? What does that say about you? It shows you have no brains. Period. End of story. You're willing to vote for someone who's not a man. That's smart. That really works. If she had offered something unique, if she'd ever discovered something that benefited humanity, or created a business that produced a product that people liked. But she's done nothing. She's been a career politician her whole life. And if you want to know what she did as Secretary of State, oh my God, it's a disaster. Libya has descended into tribal warfare. Millions of Africans are pouring into Europe because of her. The entire Middle East is a wreck because of her. And the reason she gets away with it is because of that wine-drinking, that Wolf Blitzer. I told you what they were doing months ago. I told you they were covering for her. Beware the government media complex. So in light of the fact that I gave that speech in 1998 at the Commonwealth Club, and I'm only going to play a minute of it, I want you to hear what I said. Listen to this. Look, I got to do this for a reason. Because I saw this then, long before anyone else did it. I coined the phrase, beware the government media complex, 1998, when I was still a local talk show host. Now, come in November after the election, I'm going to be on stage, God willing, in Chicago, when they give me the 5 minutes to give a speech at the Hall of Fame Award, and we each get a, you know, we get a five-minuter. So I got to think very carefully, what message do I want to put out for posterity, because it'll be recorded. And first of all, I'm going to thank you, the listeners, because everywhere I go, whether it is a clerk in a pharmacy who says, hi, Dr. Savage, how are you? And I say to them with a smile, did you vote for me? And they say, yes, I did. You know how many people voted for me? An awful lot of people voted for me. And don't think I don't know it. There's no way for me to thank each of you who did so. It's the greatest honor of my life, by the way. You may not know it, but I say that. It really is the high point of my career. But it's not going to be only about me. I'm going to leave a message like in a, you remember in the old days in the World's Fairs, they would bury a message in the ground to be opened 100 years later? The message I will leave in the Radio Hall of Fame will be a message for our times. And it will be thanking my listeners who responded to my message in radio for over 22 years of borders, language, culture. That's a message like a time capsule. And that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to say, the issue of the government media complex is so profoundly important now as we enter the year 2017, where we no longer have an independent media. The media is supposed to represent an outside force that keeps politicians rather honest. And when it becomes like Wolf Blitzer, not an attack dog, but a lapdog of Hillary Clinton, then we have lost the Fourth Estate, which has become the Fifth Column. Now, I said all of this in 1998, and I'm going to play a minute of it for you, so you don't think I'm making any of this stuff up. Listen now.
Beware the government media complex. I hope to prove to you over the next period of time that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship, and this, by the way, transcends right or left, has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with politics, it has everything to do with press freedom. And I want to state that from the outset. I believe that today we have a relationship that is too cozy between government and media. You know, the media, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, is needed by you and by me, by the public, very badly needed, to be and to remain a thorn in the side of the government. In order to keep the government relatively honest, you need a media that's constantly poking at them. However, when the media instead becomes a thorn in the side of the skeptical private citizen, the media then becomes an arm of the government. Beware the government media complex. But if one compassionate conservative dares to speak out, he's condemned to the gulag of media silence, the gulag of media exile. This startling bias in the media is more threatening to the pillars of our republic than even the most ardent conservative might believe. It is censorship by default as well. What do I mean by censorship by default? Where the commercial interests of the media moguls are so intertwined with government policy as to create an overly friendly image of government officials and their policies. So it may not be as clear as a conspiracy to bias the news, but it comes out to be the same thing anyway. I first began this file on the government media complex about 3 years ago. I noticed an alarming bias occurring, and I knew that without correction, this could sink the ship of truth. Now, surely other administrations have had their friends in high media places, but still, there were many voices and many views of dissent which found their way into the national media. But now we have a growing media blackout of some serious crimes and misdemeanors, all unsolved to the satisfaction of those with critical powers of reason. We know about these events because the dam of silence has cracked. But owned media hacks and hackettes apply their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. And who has paid for their crimes and misdemeanors? And who is being blackmailed?
Savage. Like fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. That summarizes the media as far as I'm concerned. And Wolf Blitzer may either be the dancing fruit fly or the rotting tomato. I'm not sure. But we know what I'm talking about. I mean, you pretty much got what I'm talking about, right? So my friends, people are writing things like, do more childhood stories and life reflection, Savage. If I hear any more about this election, my head will explode. Who can take this anymore, they write. Well, I'm doing other things. You understand that? And what I'm doing today, and I think it's been good so far, is I ask you, if you're highly educated and a first-time caller, to call the Savage Nation to show the skeptics out there that the universe of talk radio is not inhabited by uneducated, let's say uninformed people. Let's put it to you that way. Education per se means very little. As we all know, we've met people who are highly educated or not that, you know, knowledgeable. And we've met the reverse. I met people with no education who are smarter than those with high educations. But today I wanted those with both, okay? So we're going for that one. And we're going right now to line four in Las Vegas on KBET. Kevin, go ahead, please. Tell us your background.
Good afternoon, Michael. My background, I have an economics degree from Stanford University. I've got a JD degree from Bolt Law School at Berkeley. And I've got an EMBA from USC.
So you are obviously in business?
I'm in business. I run a consulting company.
So, again, I will ask you, but I think I know what you're going to say. Are you going to vote for Hillary or Trump?
Trump.
Okay. Highly educated. Why?
That's how I was brought up. My parents were both educated, not highly educated. They both have college degrees from private universities, and that was really how they raised my brother and my sister and I. We had really no choice. It was to graduate high school, work hard, get good grades.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't ask the right question or you didn't hear it. Why are you voting for Trump, not Hillary?
Trump represents my views as a businessman. I understand where he's coming from. And a lot of the other rhetoric around his politics is, I think, the emotional base, but I think it has merit. But I'm a business fan from the start. I believe.
All right, so let me ask you this. So what do you make of a snake like Bloomberg, who did business with Trump in New York for many years, to stand up there simply because they gave him a podium to stab Trump in the back? He said Trump's a terrible man, sued everybody, left a trail of tears. I'd like your opinion the minute we come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour is almost coming to a conclusion. I have another hour, and I'm full of energy. God knows where it's coming from, but I have it. I want to read a Facebook posting I just got from a man named Timothy H. He says, I'm looking forward to reading Scorched Earth. He says, I'm a white sheep in the Muslim family. Seven continents I've lived on. He's a Muslim. He says, I have an Israeli Jewish wife. I've seen some things for better and worse from many an odd vantage. I have enjoyed and continue to delight in your insight and perspective. Don't often say something like this. I would enjoy sharing thoughts and experiences with an old-school denizen and an old-school haunted Vesuvio or Trieste in San Francisco, and I'm intrigued by your new private club membership. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Exciting. Thanks for the application of your scientific mind to something outside the University of California. And it's signed, Timothy. Interesting. I never meet listeners who write me because they can often not be friends. They can be foes. So thanks, Timothy, but I never meet anyone that way. I know people do that today with all kind of... You know, in the old days of radio, I was warned when you're in radio, never accept listener food. Meaning, when a local host, never accept listener food. Dear Mike, we love you. Bobby and I created this special cake just for you. Signed, Bill. Well, we threw those cakes in the garbage. Then I would get bottles of wine that looked like they were corked after the fact. Dear Dr. Savage, Vivian and I love you so much. We hope you enjoy this wine. That was broken on the curb, as in the French Revolution. I wouldn't even put it into the sink for fear it would rot the pipes out. So we put it on the streets. And no, I don't accept invitations to meet. And it's not because you're a bad person. I'm great. It's because the security risks are too high. We're going to continue with high-end callers on the Savage Nation. I still have some great ones. And all of the news, views, and reviews you've come to expect from the raconteur called Michael Savage. You know, that's an old word. No one uses raconteur. They've forgotten talk radio is supposed to be a raconteur. You're supposed to be able to tell stories, not sit and hack people's brains to death. Well, I hope I'm telling you stories that you like, because I'm going to do it for another hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Late afternoon in most of America, and early evening on the East Coast. And Friday is the Sabbath for Muslims. The end of the day is the beginning of the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And Sunday is the Sabbath for the Christian people. And I think I'm going to read something from the Old Testament or the original Bible because, well, the three religions are built upon the words of God, and the words of God are more truly written, I would think, or more authentically written in the Old Testament than in any other. So I'm going to read you something that I think is appropriate for today's reading, which would be from Isaiah, who would have been a great talk show host in his day. And Isaiah said, set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain, lift up the voice unto them, wave the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And he goes on, and he talks about God, and he says he hears a tumult in the mountains, like as of a great roar coming, a roar of the kingdoms. And he said, the nations gather together. And he says, the Lord of hosts is mustering the host of the battle, getting ready for a great battle. And then he goes on, Isaiah, and he says, They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole earth. Howl ye, he says, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Therefore shall all hands be slack, and every heart of man shall melt, and they shall be affrighted. Pangs and throes shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look aghast at one another. Their faces shall be faces of flame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel and full of wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And he goes on, and he writes, therefore I'll make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of her place, for the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and for the day of his fierce anger. And it shall come to pass that as the chaste gazelle, and as sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people, and shall flee every man to his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is caught shall fall by the sword. Their babes also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. This is what the world was like in the old days. There was no compassion for your enemy. It was kill or be killed. And our enemies practice that take-no-prisoners approach. They cut the throats of priests. They kill babies. They rape young girls who are babies. They are practicing a biblical view of the world. They have not evolved. And there's only one thing that these almost Stone Age men and women understand, and that is might and power. We have the might and we have the power, but we don't have the will. We have a weakling running America who reserves all of his genius for attacking his political opponents here in America, and reserves all of his wrath only for those of us in America who still love this nation for its borders, language, and culture. He never even acknowledges that the enemy exists. There is no Islamic enemy. Even though they say they are Islamic, he says they are not. Although their acronym is ISIS, he leaves out the I. And so my friends were praying to God himself that he shall deliver us in America unto the hands of a man who knows exactly what needs to be done to save this country. We're also praying to God today that he does not deliver us unto the hands of a known criminal on the other side of the aisle. And that's my sermon for the day. The phone number here is 855-407-282, michaelsavage.com, Facebook, whatever. And I want to take some calls. And I in the first hour, I did something I've never done in 22 years of radio. What I'm trying to do is reinvent myself almost every day. If not reinvent myself, challenge myself and do a new show every day. I don't want the same show. I don't want it to sound like yesterday's show. And today would be an easy day to do nothing. Friday would have been very easy after the convention to just talk about whatever. And I didn't want to do that. So I said, what can I do in my own mind? And about 15 minutes before the show, I was thinking, you know, people on the other side, the progs, the phonies, the criminals, the government workers, the gangsters in the green business, those who avoid taxes and claim they're liberals, but they're not, the trillionaires, you know who they are, who are supporting the corrupt Democrat Party simply because they are allowed to evade taxes and they have so many benefits you could never imagine. All of Hollywood, for example, claims they're liberal. That's because they get enormous tax advantages from Obama. Did you know that? That's why Katzenberg, love the administration. It's nothing to do with politics. And they may be left-leaning because they grew up in Brooklyn, but by and large, that's not it. It's tax advantages for them. So here we are sitting here on the eve of our salvation or the eve of our destruction, because after this convention, it's straight on to the election. You know that. I mean, really, the next stop is the election. And we're almost through this nightmare of listening to this rubbish for the last year. But, you know, in a way, I've been one of these people saying these elections go on too long. We seem to be in an endless election cycle, and that's, of course, to distract us and build up the revenue for the networks. That's why these elections are going on longer and longer and longer, because it's good for ratings and increases the revenue primarily of the networks and the cable networks. They live off it, and that's why they drag it out. No election should run more than 90 days, beginning to end, top to bottom, primary election over. That's it. We're not living in the 1800s. I mean, there's a thing called email. You know what I'm saying? If you use FaceTime, for God's sakes, instead of going through this rubbish. And as far as the media goes, it doesn't exist. We don't need any more debates. Let each one running for office give a couple of speeches and have a debate, and that's the end of it, and let the people decide. I am sick and tired of listening to these set-up interviews or debates, whether it's Megyn Kelly, that Harridan pretends to be Miss Conservative. We all knew she tried to destroy Trump from the get-go. Her and Wolf Blitzer are identical. One is pretty and one is ugly. One is a female and one is a male. One has a beard and one has long hair. But fundamentally, they come from the same cut of salami. They're the same thing. We don't need them debating for us or moderating for us. They're not moderators. They're propagandists. And so at the beginning of the show today, I thought, what can I do that would attract the listeners to this show to hear that it is a different show? And I said, you know, it's easy to say, well, everyone who listens to talk radio and calls in are basically, they're uneducated, they're not successful, they have nothing to do, you know. That's what the progs want you to believe. The progs make believe they're the smart, sophisticated ones. But the opposite is true. And so today I've asked people of accomplishment to call the show. That's what we've been doing, if you just tuned in. And now we go right to the callers. Phil on line three is calling from the Detroit area on WJR. Phil, go ahead. Tell us your background, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. My name is Phil. I'm an Army Ranger. I've served two combat tours in Afghanistan. Spent over 30 months of my life there. I have a master's degree in systems engineering from the Naval Postgraduate School. I'll be defending my PhD in 2 weeks from that same school in Monterey. Some engineering as well.
Amazing. You should be very proud of yourself. I'm sure you are. You're a highly driven man. You know, people don't know about the Army Rangers. We all know about the Navy SEALs. Could you tell the listeners how hard it is to get into Ranger School, and more particularly how hard it is to finish Ranger School? What is it about?
Ranger School is really truly a leadership school. It's where we send the finest leaders in our military, mostly Army, to learn about themselves. Right, it's a two-month school if you make it through in 2 months. There's three phases, each progressively harder. They're very physically demanding, very little sleep, very little food, and you push your mental limits every day, whether it be rucking, whether it be hiking, whether it be playing tactical operations, whether it be walking in swamps or canoeing up rivers or rafting.
Okay, so let me ask a loaded question. They're pushing women into every branch of the military. We know women are very smart. Some of them are as tough as nails. We also know that most men are tougher than most women. Not entirely 100% true. Have they lowered the standards at Army Ranger School to make sure women pass the course?
I am 100% confident they have. It's not possible.
That's pretty clear. So what good is that going to do us if they put someone out there who's not as tough as the guy she's fighting next to? She's going to weaken the whole brigade.
This is true. You know, every single training operation that we did in Ranger School required a CASAVAC of some sort. And I tell you what, myself with 300 pounds of gear, my body weight, 300 pounds of gear total, it's just going to crush a woman carrying that distance or carrying that weight any distance. And, you know, it's challenging for me. You know, I'm a very physically fit man, and to expect a woman to do that same thing is very unrealistic. They become a liability on the battlefield, in my opinion, when it comes to physics.
Well, of course, that's why Obama insisted upon it. That's what I mean about scorched earth. He has done things. People don't quite understand what I mean by scorched earth. It's not a well-known idea, but in the world of warfare, why don't you explain what scorched earth actually means?
Scorched earth is, yeah, as I understand it, is a strategy of just complete annihilation of an area. Usually, you know, when they refer to carpet bombing or nuclear warfare, is where you leave nothing left alive but the rock.
All right, so an example would be when the Soviets withdrew from certain strategic areas as the Germans were advancing on them. The Soviets practiced a scorched earth policy in their own nation, in their retreat, by burning crops, by killing farm animals, by blowing up bridges in order to slow the advance of the enemy. That's what scorched earth is. In political terms, as I explained it in my book, Obama is practicing that very same policy in virtually every branch of government, so that if Hillary does not win, it will be almost impossible to reconstruct a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's what I mean by scorched earth. I want to thank you. First of all, I take my hat off to you. You guys are my heroes, as is anyone in the combat realm of the military. You are the only thing we have between us and total slavery, as are the police domestically. And to have an administration that has gone so hard against the military and against the police like this is not only heartbreaking, it's something beyond heartbreaking. And I thank you very much for listening and calling the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And so I'll read one line from Jeremiah, since, as I say, Friday is the holy day for Muslims, the beginning of the holy Saturday, the holy Sabbath for Jews, and, of course, the lead up until the holy day for so many Christians around the world, which is Sunday. Jeremiah wrote, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. That's what he wrote. And think of those three words. And what was he writing about? Well, you have to read the three or four sentences before that. He writes, how greatly dost thou cheapen thyself to change thy way? He writes, he goes on. He says, if thou will return, O Israel, said the Lord, and return to me, and if thou wilt put away thy detestable things out of my sight, and will not waver, and will swear, as the Lord liveth, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then shall the nations bless themselves by him, and in him shall they glory. So, what does that mean? It means that God was always trying to straighten out his people. People were always stiff-necked. They were always wayward. They were always doing stuff he didn't like. They wanted to have fun. Girls just wanted to have fun. He said, no, you can't. Why do you mean I can't? What do you mean I can't do what I want? Why can't I wear dresses that make me look like a hooker when I'm 7 years old? My mother does. Why can't I put on lipstick and jewelry at age eight like my mother does? Why can't I do that? Well, what do you think the rules were set down for in the old days? The rules were set down to keep people from dying off. In plain English, it was all about survival. In many ways, all the moral codes, you can throw them all out, and I'm not a moralistic guy. I told you I'm a flawed man. I'm a sexual libertarian. I've told you all of that. I'm a modern man. I'm not an ancient Israelite. Don't confuse me with an ancient Israelite. I'm a modern man, that's all. But I understand why these rules were written. They were written to keep the tribes from dying off, to make them strong enough to defend themselves, to make them clean enough to keep their families together, to make sure that the girls got married and had babies. Doesn't that sound odd in today's world? Wow, how dare you say that? A girl should get married and have babies? Ooh, she may not be a Hillary voter, that one. No, the girls just want to have fun. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? That's the ethos of the Democrat Party, isn't it? Isn't that the ethos of the entire campaign? Yeah, well, that's what I saw, even though I didn't watch it. What do you need to see? You have to see something. You already know what it is? The pantsuit? Someone sent me this. They said, Savage, here's a slogan for you, Trump or Frump. I think it makes sense, Trump or Frump, but you have to know what Frump means. Another one said, you see all that confetti that was released in the hall in Philadelphia when she was coronated? Those are the 30,000 emails that were shredded. I like that one the best. It's probably true. Blumenthal was running the shredding machine overnight. Shredding the emails. 30,000 of them. There was the confetti. Maybe the FBI can reconstruct. The FBI will reconstruct the emails and say, look what we found. We found that Donald Trump was actually stealing her emails. It wasn't the Russians, after all. It was Donald Trump. Yeah, right. That'll come up next. And then they'll call up their boy, Wolfie. And Wolfie will put it out with the blinking eyes and whatever. Now, the most shameful moment of the campaign was not Wolf Blitzer, because we know what he is. I mean, you know, you're shocked by that. How many years have we called it the Crescent News Network, the Communist News Network, the Clinton News Network? There's nothing new under the sun. They've been owned by them for years. We know that. The shocking part of it was not any of that. It was Michael Bloomberg getting up there and, for a few minutes of fame, sticking a knife into Donald Trump's back like Brutus. Bloomberg did business with Trump for years in New York. I can list the things that Trump did that you're not hearing about, and I will do so perhaps next week. Why would Bloomberg take a man who has done so much good for New York, reconstructing a good portion of the whole West Side? That's what Trump did. Why would he take that opportunity to stab him in the back? Because he is what he is. Him and Paul Simon are cut from the same locks.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. What it was, commissioned largely by the church for the greatest composers of all time, which brings us back to what it's all about and why we're losing the war against the Prags and the war against the Islamists. The Islamists, as sick as they are, believe in something, while most of us believe in nothing. That is the problem. As twisted and as sick as they believe in something. And what is it that we believe in? What do we live for is the question. They have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. It's been said a long time, thousands of years we've heard about it. They have eyes and see not and have ears and hear not. They see the harridan, the pantsuit on the stage. They know her history, and yet they see nothing. They hear it. They know it's criminal, and they don't hear it. They don't see it. They don't know it. Why? Why? Beware the government media complex, because the medium is the message. They control the message. And they are so warped. They're so warped, the Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers. I don't need to read you the litany of the evil names that can spin off my tongue in a moment. They are the evil of today, in my opinion. It's not a matter of whether or not they like Democrats or Republicans. That's not the issue. They're entitled to vote for whom they want, whether they be a journalist or not. Their evil consists of the fact that they are supposed to be esteemed members of the Fourth Estate. They are supposed to keep the politicians honest and be as objective as they can in their reportage. They're not supposed to do what Megyn Kelly did to Donald Trump right from the starting gate. She exposed herself for what she is. And, of course, the dancing Wolf Blitzer with the wine would end another person's career, but it won't end his career. It'll raise his stature amongst the Prags, because we've lost the Fourth Estate, which has become the Fifth Column, which I explained in detail several times, and I can explain it over and over again, but not today. I don't want to go back over old ground. I'll do it another time. I want to go forward by taking some calls again from people who've never called talk radio. You've never heard people like who are calling today. You've not heard them on my show. You've not heard them on any other show, because they are fundamentally the listeners. No one's ever asked them to call simply based upon their own story of success or of education. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't have called, but basically it's not because they didn't want to. It's like they had nothing to say. They were listening, listening, listening. And you got to remember this. Most people listen to talk radio not for the callers, they listen for the host. That's the absolute truth. On the other hand, I have a very deep connection with most of my listeners. It's well known in the industry to be a very, very severe connection, strictly one of the most severe ever in the connection, the connectivity between myself and my listeners. So they want to hear what I have to say, and I'm a moody guy. Some days I'm more focused than others. Today I'm a focused guy. Some days I'm kind of a little spacey, I admit it. Some days I'm up, some days I'm down, some days I have allergies, some days I don't. Today is one of those rare days where I see things clearly. I can see things almost infinitely. And we really are on the precipice of a change one way or the other. We heard this in every election, and it's used as hyperbole to sell advertising, to sell a candidate. Right, this is the most important election, blah, blah, blah. Now, both sides are using that. But why would the Democrats be using that to say that if she doesn't come along to save us, all is lost? You mean they haven't had 8 years to destroy every institution in the United States of America in a scorched earth policy? She's going to change that, what, by becoming a Republican all of a sudden? A Republican who restores the grandeur and traditions of the military and restores the standards in the military? She's going to come to office and tell the Black Lives Matter to stop chanting to kill police? She's going to come to power and say, let me put it down very clearly. If another cop is killed, we will track you down, we will find you, and we will throw you in jail for the rest of your life, or we'll give you the death penalty. You're not killing another cop, and moreover, any cop who is killed, you're going to face the death penalty. You're going to face a federal death penalty. That would change things radically, wouldn't it? But she's not going to do that. She will continue to go after the police until they are not only incapable of defending themselves. Two more died today in a gang task force in San Diego, incidentally. For those of you who don't like hearing about the realities of all of our visitors from south of the border, I know the common modality. Oh, yeah, they all come here to work. They're so hard working. They're so family-oriented. Right, sure. Yeah. Well, two cops who know what gangs are like and what they're doing to this country, how they're rotting it from within,
were killed.
So you say, oh, that's great. What is that so good? That's good? Do you understand what's going on, that there's an epidemic of homicide against police? Is that what you want? You want to have no police in the streets of America? Is that what you want? Don't tell me you want them to be fair. They're as fair as you could possibly be in this crazy, sick nation of psychotic liberal judges. You try the job for one day and see if you can get through it. It's impossible. The hardest job on earth, next to being a teacher in an inner city school. Two of the hardest jobs on earth. Two of the most underpaid jobs in history. Police and teaching. Two of the hardest jobs on earth. So, no, she's not going to make it better for those situations. She'll make it much worse. The only chance we have is someone we don't really know because of what he said he would do. We know what she'll do because she's done it before. What, is she an unknown? Miss Pantsuit, the Harridan, is unknown? We had 8 years of her and her husband. We say, well, they were good years. They were good years. You forgot the scandals. You forgot what was done during her 8 years, the treason, the absolute outright treason with China. Let me give you an example of what went on during the Clinton years, because this has not even been talked about. Trump doesn't even know this. Trump wasn't a politician. I was in talk radio then. He wasn't. And let me remind you, there was a man who ran the DNC. I almost said the Department of Garbage in New York. He ran the DNC, the Democrat National Committee. No, he was the single biggest, biggest donor to the DNC. And I forget his name. Look it up, Robert. I think it was Goldberg. I'm not 100% sure. He was a schnurrer from the Bronx. A schnurrer, a lowlife, a slithering lizard, in my opinion, who made a fortune in the parking meter business somehow. Parking meters. That's all. Somebody made parking meters. Nothing wrong with that. Someone has to make something. Everyone makes something. A paper bag. A rope, a parking meter, a carton. He made parking meters. Nothing wrong with that. He took that money he made, this parking meter man, and he wanted to get into the satellite business because he knew that was the coming thing. He heard about it from his cousin Manny. Get into the satellites, telecommunications of the future. So he said, you know, we got to get those satellites up into the air somehow. The U.S. military was far and away the most advanced military on earth at the time in every sphere, including in rocketry. We're way ahead of everyone, way ahead of China, way ahead of the Soviet Union, who had fallen into disrepair at that point. And Bernie, I think it was Bernie Goldberg, am I right? Was that his name? Do we have the whole story on him? Because I never forgot this man's name. This is a name that should live in infamy. He's still around, by the way. He was the Bernie Madoff of his time in this field, in my opinion. So he was single biggest donor to the DNC when Clinton was president. And he got Bill Clinton to agree to permit China to use our technology to launch non-military, quote, non-military satellites, strictly for peaceful use. That's how he sold it. The classic boll weevil. The kind of guy who sold faulty engines in airplanes in World War II, even if his son flew one of the planes to make another buck, he would have sold a defective engine. That's the type we're talking about, the lowest of form of humanity, in my opinion, though. Have to keep saying that. It's only my opinion. I'm sure he's a wonderful man. So, anyway, he got Bill Clinton to sign off. It was a very big deal in those days, on permitting China to use our military technology to launch rockets into space to bring, quote, weather and communication satellites into orbit. Because the Chinese were trying and failing. All their rockets were crashing on the pad, and they're falling in the sea. They weren't doing well. It was no longer the age of pyrotechnics and gunpowder. They couldn't do it. But with Bernie Goldberg's help, if that's his name, I don't know what his name is. We got to find it. I'll find it in a minute. Technology was given to them. They were launching weather satellites. The next thing you knew, they were launching military weaponry. The next thing you knew, they were threatening us with the Long Dong, which could reach Los Angeles and San Francisco. The next thing you knew, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was all because of Bill Clinton letting this guy give them the technology. That's what went on under the Clinton administration. I don't think Donald Trump knows that. I don't think Manafort knows that. I don't think any of them know that. But I remember the important things. I remember all of the important things. Forget Cattlegate and Schmattlegate and Rattlegate. You talk about a family that would sell their country down the river for profit, and you're celebrating that with confetti? because she's not a man? Is that how far we have fallen as a nation? I think so. So what is the hope? Can he win? Can Trump really win? He's not Jesus. I'm not saying he's the Holy Grail. Don't get me wrong. But he is not the Clintons. They are corrupt and they're criminals. Everyone knows that. She just escaped for reasons no one could ever understand. That an FBI director would say after a long, exhaustive trillion-dollar study, billion-dollar study, whatever, we found that she committed a crime but didn't. We found she did something she shouldn't have done, violated him, but she didn't. And therefore, although we should, we're not going to. Thank you very much and goodbye. Not take any questions. Sayonara. That's what we heard. How? We gasped. How could that even be? Now the next thing you know, Wolf Blitz is drinking the wine. He's trying to dance, but his hips are locked, closed, shut from all the years sitting in a chair there. And that's exposed now for the government media complex I've been telling you about. And she's like, oh, great. Oh, what is she so great? You know nothing about them? She said, well, what about the other side? What's so evil about Trump? Why is he hated so much? What has he actually done in his life that is worthy of such hatred? The answer is nothing. I don't know of anything he's done that makes him so hated. He's hated because he's not a Democrat. He's hated because he's not a Prague. He's hated because he's for closing the borders and keeping the criminals out and keeping the diseases out. He's hated because he respects the English language and he wants English as the language of the land. And I hope all ballots in English only, not in 16 languages, so everyone and his mother's uncle can vote. And of course, he is of European Christian heritage, and so he respects the fundamental culture of this nation. And that, my friends, is the whole story about this election. You're pointing at this. His name is what? Okay, it's Schwartz. A Schwartz? Let me see. You sent it to me by email. Where is he today? Let's look him up. Let's name him and shame him. I don't see. Where's the email? Bernie Schwartz? I have to look him up. Where is Bernie today now that we don't need? Another Bernie. I never met anyone by the name of Bernie I trusted. It's a funny thing. You remember the guy who stole the secrets out of the library under Bill Clinton? What was his name? Another Bernie, wasn't he? Yeah, another one. The top lawyer in Washington. He went into the National Archives and stole papers that were condemning of the Clintons, and he took them out in his underwear and socks. Anyone else would have been in jail for the rest of his life. Nothing happened to him. They're very powerful people. They seem to control virtually everything. And there's almost no way to get through to this. And now we have two choices here, really one choice. And that is the whole thing about the election. And I don't know how anyone of a rational mind is working for a living. I don't know anyone who's working for a living could even think about who they're going to vote for. I don't know what they say Trump did that makes him so undesirable. I do know what she's done over the years with her husband that makes him not only undesirable, but a clear and present danger to our survival as a people. Let me take a quick break, and I'll come back to close out the show with a few calls. Thanks for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Bernie Schwartz, lifelong Democrat. In 1998, Schwartz became embroiled in a campaign donation scandal and alleged transfer of missile technology to China that occurred in 1996. But listen to this. Are you ready for this? There's nothing new under the sun. He was exonerated of any wrongdoing in the campaign finance matter after a Clinton Justice Department investigation. Schwartz's Loral settled the missile transfer matter with the Justice Department in 2002, paying a $14 million fine and admitting no wrongdoing. He's still alive. He's still well. Thank you very much. I'm doing very well. It's a nice investment firm in Manhattan. Never touched by any scandal. And that's the story. And here's some of the news you haven't heard today. And a little more cover-up. Horror at German department store as attacker grabs display knife in latest stabbing. The attacker, age 58, lunged at a member of a department store staff after grabbing one of the blades on display. 57-year-old German was said to be badly injured after being stabbed in the torso. It is not a terrorism-related attack. In fact, they're looking into whether the Muslims suffered with mental health problems. It's always mental health, you see. That's how that is. Sure, it's never to do with the religion of peace. Here's another one. French Prime Minister predicts more ISIS terror attacks as ban on foreign funding for mosques considered. And this is in socialist France. To show you how sympathetic your president is to ISIS, he will not even identify them as related to Islam. But the socialist French government is now considering banning the foreign financing of mosques. Is that a good idea or what? I think it's a fabulous idea. And it could only happen if one of the two candidates wins. If the other candidate wins, not only will foreign donations for building mosques decrease, you'll be lucky if you're not arrested in your own country for practicing Christianity in your lifetime. That's the line. That's the fault line. That's the storyline. That's the Savage Nation. Good night, good luck, and God bless America.